Well, good afternoon, Walsall. We're here once again to share with you the good news, the glad tidings that Jesus Christ, the Son of God, came into the world to save sinners. If you would like to have a copy of God's Word, God's written Word, that is, that would perhaps maybe introduce you to God's living Word, His Son, Jesus Christ. If you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, peruse, you know, read, digest, meditate upon God's Word, and a part of the Bible itself, the Word of God is spoken of in terms of a mirror, you know. You look into a mirror, you see a reflection of yourself. But you look into the mirror of God's Word, and you see a reflection of the glory of God. And of course, especially in the gospel, that is Jesus Christ and Him crucified for sinners, when you look into the mirror of God's Word, and in particular to the gospel, you see not only the glory of God, but you see the glory of His redemption, His salvation, that is, His salvation plan, and sending His Son Jesus Christ into the world, that a sinner like you might be saved. So if you'd like to have a copy of God's Word, God's mirror, as it were, look into it, see the reflection of God's glory, His beauty, His holiness, His majesty, His power, His merciful kindness. If you'd like a copy of God's Word, do feel free to come and ask for one. The blessings of the blesseds that Jesus speaks about in the Gospels. He curses, he pronounces woes upon the hypocrisy of self-righteous religion, but there are people to whom he pronounces to be blessed. Those, that is, who have received the favor of God. Those who have become, because of the grace of God, have become recipients of the mercy and the kindness of God. For instance, he says, "Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn." That is, you know, those who are of a humble frame of mind. You know, as the Bible says, "Humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due season." Blessed are they that mourn, those who weep, those who howl, those who lament over their sin because they've offended God's law, because of they've offended God's person, because they have offended God's love. Maybe perhaps someone here in Walsall today would say, "Well, you know, the things that you're saying to us, they're an offense to us." But my friends, think about it. You're an offense to God. Your sins, your conduct, that which you confess, that which comes out of your mouth, is an offense to God. And those who are blessed, you see, those who have received the favor of God, are those who have come to see this, understand this, that their sins are an offense to God, to His person, to His law, and to His love. And so you see, my friends, to be blessed of God is the opposite of being cursed. We come into the world under the curse of God, the whole human race, because of Adam's sin, as my brother has just told you. The whole human race is under the curse of God because of Adam's sin. And so you see that all of us, even creation itself, even the created order, even the universe is out of sync, the Bible says, because of man's sin. And so you see, my friend, the blessing of God, those who are blessed of God, that's the opposite of the curse. How are you doing, guys?
Yes,
have a good day. Don't drink too much, eh?
We will do.
No. Put it away. So you see, my friends, it's the opposite of the curse. God, you see, by His Son, Jesus Christ, by His death on the cross, Jesus was on that cross, redeeming those under the curse. That is to lift the curse of God from off them to set them free from it. He became a curse. He became a curse for us, for those, that is, who believe, who will believe, who will trust in the person of his Son, Jesus Christ, and in his death and resurrection. So you see, my friends, blessed are they that mourn, blessed are the poor in spirit, blessed are the meek, blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness. This blessed state, my friends, is a state of grace. It's God, you see, bringing a sinner into a state of grace. And that's not the state that we're in naturally. That's not how we come into the world. That's not how we're conceived in our mother's womb. That's not how we're born 9 months later. The very opposite, the contrary. You're conceived in your mother's womb in sin. You come into the world shapen in iniquity and sin, my friends, in a state of lawlessness, in anarchy against God, ungodly, unrighteous, unholy. That's how you're born, and that's how you live, and that's how you'll die, unless God takes you from that natural state in which you were conceived and born, and brings you into a state of grace. So how is a person brought into a state of grace? A person is brought into a state of grace by being born again, says Jesus. By being regenerated, not by being religious. The Roman Catholic Church will tell you that you're in a state of grace because you were baptized in infancy. That brings you into a state of grace. No, it doesn't. That's hogwash. That's false teaching. That's heresy. And it's even damnable heresy. Because you see, it blinds the souls of men and women. It causes them, it makes them to think that they're in a state of grace simply because they've been baptized. Not true, my friends. Not true. No, a man, a woman must be born again, says Jesus. Except a man be born again, he cannot see, he cannot perceive, he cannot understand the kingdom of God. It's in being born again, it's in being regenerated, it's in being resurrected, not being religious. Being religious doesn't do it. You can be religious. Any kind of religion you like, that doesn't do it. It's Jesus, my friend, by the power of the risen Christ, the Son of God, being born again of his Spirit, my friend, and made a new creature in Jesus Christ, you see, that a man, a woman is brought into a state of grace. And only then do they see, only then do they understand, only then do they begin to understand that they are sinners. You see, they become humble-minded. Before they were arrogant and proud, and before they argued about their sin, that they were not sinners, that they were okay, that they were good enough, that they were fit for God in heaven. But brought into a state of grace, you see. Born again, you see. Now their minds have been humbled. Now they see their condition and sin. They see the awfulness of their sin, the offense that their sin is to God. And it causes them to mourn. It causes them to weep. It causes them to be humble-minded. It's a state of grace, you see. Blessed, says Jesus, those, that is, that God, by his miraculous grace, by his sovereign grace, by his particular grace, my friend, he brings sinners, men and women, under the preaching of the gospel, he brings them into a state of grace, and they are blessed, they are favored, they are accepted of God, because he has accepted them. They love him because God first loved them. We don't love God until he loves us. He must love us first. The initiative, friends, is always, always with God. So here Jesus, in the very last of these blesseds, he says, "Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven. For so persecuted they the prophets which were before you." The glamour of being favored of God. The glamour of being a righteous child of God. The glamour of being a believer, a Christian, my friend. Persecution, reviling, men and women saying wicked, evil things about you falsely because you belong to Jesus, because you're accepted of God, because you're loved of God. Men will hate you, says Jesus, and they will revile you. Why? Because they hate God and they hate His Son, Jesus Christ. That's the natural state, you see, in which you come into the world, hating God and hating your neighbor. Oh, but especially, the world has a special hatred for those who have been blessed by God. The world has a special hatred for those who belong to Jesus. So you see, my friends, the glamorous thing to be a Christian, to be hated and reviled and lied about by other people. Oh, there are those people who will come tell you that God loves everybody and God has a plan for your life. He wants to make you wealthy and healthy and prosperous, and everything in the garden will be rosy all the way to heaven. All your problems will be solved and be over. That's a lie, my friends. That's a lie from the devil. That's a lie from false religion. That's a false gospel. That's false Christianity. No, says Jesus, you're blessed of God, accepted of God, declared righteous by God. You will be reviled. You will be hated of all men for my sake. They'll speak falsely against you because you belong to me. Persecuted for righteousness' sake because you're a righteous man or woman, a righteous child of God. But a righteousness, my friends, that's not ours. Oh, we're not here to boast. No, far from it, my friends. We have nothing to boast of. Our only boast, my friends, our only glory is in the cross of Jesus Christ, our Savior, who loved us and gave Himself for us. That's our only glory. That's the only thing that we boast in, the glorious death of our Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. That's all our boasting. No, we're righteous, my friends, because it is the gift of God. Righteous, my friends, the child of God is righteous and persecuted for righteousness' sake because God has declared them to be righteous. They're not righteous in of themselves. They're unrighteous, unholy, ungodly, naturally speaking. But through faith in the gospel, you see, by the operations of God, by the grace of God, you see, bringing them into a state of grace, God declares them to be righteous to the uttermost. He gives them the gift of His own righteousness, the righteousness of the gospel that is found in Jesus Christ. But here's the problem, my friend. If you're not righteous, there's something worse than being persecuted for righteousness' sake. If you're not righteous, as my colleague has just been sharing with you, you face the damnation of hell. Unrighteous, ungodly, unholy, naturally speaking. And you live in that way, you live in that vein, hating God and hating your neighbor. Well, the end of that, the consequence of that, my friend, something much, much worse, I tell you, than persecution. Oh, the everlasting flames, the damnation of hell, the terrors and the torments, my friends, of the life to come. No, not the life, the existence in hell forever. Unless God declares you to be righteous, in that day when you stand before God, young man, you need a righteousness, not your own. Not your own, you need an alien righteousness. You need the righteousness of another. You need the righteousness of God revealed in the gospel of his Son, Jesus Christ, and given to those who believe, those who trust in Jesus, those who are with faith, you see, brought into this state of grace. And they're blessed, they're favored of God, but they're not favored of men. Oh, God will love you in a state of grace. God will bless you in a state of grace. God will accept you in a state of grace. But the world won't accept you. The world won't love you. The world will hate you and persecute you and revile you and say false things about you. So you see, my friends, understand, will you please? Understand the glamour. Oh, the glamour that's attached to being a Christian, to being a believer, to being in a state of grace. You'll be reviled and hated of all men for my sake, says the Lord Jesus. So you call yourself a Christian today. I don't know who I'm talking to here in Walsall today. You claim to be a Christian. If you're not reviled, if you're not hated, if you're not persecuted, if you're not falsely accused, well then, my friends, I have to question your Christianity. Because that's the glamour that's attached to being a believing Christian child of God. You will be persecuted, says Jesus. This person who is right, righteous not by your standard, righteous not by the world's standard, righteous not by your family's standard, righteous not by the government's standard, righteous by God's standard. So where do you go to find God's standard? You go to the Ten Commandments, the summary of God's law. Thou shalt have no other gods before me. You will not bow down to and worship these heathen gods. Allah, they call him Muhammad, you know? And the Pope of Rome, the Watchtower Society, Buddha, etc., etc. Your world religions, heathen religions, my friend. Thou shalt not have these gods before me, says the living and true God. And then, of course, well, the other commandments, you know, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not covet, thou shalt not bear false testimony. That's the righteous standard of God, and that's the righteous standard by which you'll be judged in that day. Not my opinion, not your opinion, not what the government says. Your government today legislates for all kinds of filth and uncleanness. It's filled your nation. Blair, Cameron, and now you've got Johnson, one after another, legislating for all kinds of perversity and uncleanness, sodomy, lesbianism, and now transgenderism. What comes next? You'll not be judged by their standard. You'll not be judged by their filthy minds. You'll not be judged by the lusts of filthy-minded men, politicians or otherwise. You'll not be judged by the standards of the Pope of Rome or Muhammad's nonsense and his Quran. You'll be judged by God's law. You'll be judged by the standards of those Ten Commandments. And if you're in breach of them, hell, damnation is yours. Unless you've been brought, that is, into a state of grace by the grace of God and brought to faith in Jesus Christ by the grace of God, to trust in Jesus Christ and thereby given the gift of the righteousness of God, whereupon God looks upon you as if you had never sinned. Perfectly righteous, justified before God, just as if you had never ever sinned in all your existence. Although you have. Clear by God Himself, you see? But it's right by faith. This righteousness is a gift of faith. It's not the righteousness of the law, because we can't keep the law. We are sinners, we have fallen. Sinners by nature. And nothing but sin comes out of our nature. We're not righteous, my friends. We cannot keep the law. Oh, you can try. Maybe perhaps you would say, well, I'll keep God's commandments. I'll have them all written down. I'll memorize them. And I'll live by them day by day. No, you won't. An impossibility. You cannot, because you're a fallen creature. You haven't got the power. You haven't got the strength. You haven't got the energy. You haven't got the will. You haven't got the desire. Commandments of God are grievous to your sinful mind. No, my friends, not the righteousness of the law. The righteousness which is by faith in Christ Jesus, who lived a blameless, who lived the life you should have lived, I should have lived, but didn't, couldn't. My friends, His blameless life, His spotless life, Jesus lived that beautiful life that qualified Him to go to the cross to pay the price for our sin. And so when the sinner believes on Jesus, truly believes in Jesus with a God-given faith, God bestows upon, declares that sinner to be righteous in Jesus. That's where the righteousness of God is. It's in Jesus. You want to be righteous, you got to go to Jesus and get it. But understand, my friend, understand the end of that. Being righteous in the eyes of God. Being righteous in Jesus Christ. It's not glamorous. It's not glamorous. You won't be a celebrity. You won't be playing for Manchester United or Manchester City. Huh? Or Walsall United. Huh? Yeah, my friend, not glamorous. You'll be persecuted. The Taliban will be after you. They're killing us. They're killing us now in Afghanistan in the name of their God. My brothers and sisters in Christ are being tortured and shot to death even as I speak to you now in Afghanistan by the monstrous, God-hating, godless Taliban in the name of their damnable religion. You believe in Jesus, you'll be reviled, he said. You believe in me, righteous in me, for my sake you'll be persecuted, you'll be reviled, you'll be hated, you'll be spoken of falsely by the world and its population. I have experience of this. 18 months ago, in this very place, two religious men, council workers, made a false accusation against me because I was preaching the gospel to the police, and I was arrested. The charges were later dropped because they were proved to be liars. But you see, my friends, that's what you get. That's the glamour of being a Christian, a true Christian. A man, a woman in a state of grace, favored of God, righteous righteous in Jesus Christ, you will be reviled, spoken of falsely by men, persecuted, hated by the world. Still want to be a Christian? Still want to light up, make decisions for Jesus? No, I didn't think so. But persecuted for my sake, says the Lord Jesus. For my sake, he says. Not for their sake. Not for Jimmy Hamilton's sake. No, no, my friends. For his sake, for Christ's sake. Why? Because they hate Christ. Look at what they did to him. Look at what the world did to him. Crucify him. Crucify him, they said. He's not fit to live. Get him out of here. Nail him to the cross. The world hates Christ. And those who belong to him will face the glamour of being treated in exactly the same way that they treated my lovely Savior. They'll persecute you, revile you, and say all manner of things evil against you. It's the world's opposition. The world's opposition to God. Because the world abominates God. Hates God and hates its neighbor. Full of hatred. You know, your stupid government, you know, talks about getting rid of hate crime. Well, it needs to get rid of the rest of the human race. Because you're all full of hatred. Hating God, primarily, and hating one another, and killing one another. Never done killing one another. Why? Because you hate God, that's why. That's why the abortion, that's why the euthanasia, that's why the drugs, the violence. Them that hate me, says God, love death. And that, my friends, is writ large all over your world. And even over your society today, your hatred for God is expressed in killing one another and dealing in death. Because you abominate God. Because you hate God. Not time yet, sir. The Lord will call me in good time, sir. And I will go home, no doubt about that. But you see, they will do this to you. They will hate you, persecute you, revile you. They will do this because, you see, because you're approved of God. You have God's approval. And they don't like people. The world doesn't like people who have God's approval. I mean, look at Jesus. The only good man that ever walked the face of this earth. And what did you do to him? What did you do to him? From the cradle to the cross, my friend. Harassed and hounded him. Judged him to be worthy of death. Nailed him to a cross. Spat upon him. That, my friend, that's the world. That's you, because you were there. You were there when they crucified my Lord. And you were there howling and baying like rabid dogs, crying, crucify him. Get him out of here. Crucify him. You were there. We were all there. And the only way out, my friends, of that hatred, the only way out, my friends, of that enmity in your heart and mind against God, not being subject to the law of God, the only way out is to be brought out, my friends, into a state of grace, to be approved of God, accepted of God, loved of God, brought into a state of grace by the grace of God, the sovereign grace of God, favored of God in the preaching of the gospel, to hear the gospel being preached effectually like you never heard it before, so that you're able, able to see, able to hear, able to believe, able to receive, brought into a state of grace, approved of God. But then, of course, then you'll be reviled. Then you'll be hated. Then you'll be hated, my friends. Reviled and spoken of falsely by men and women. The world hates God. The world hates God. And so the world hates those who belong to God. Oh, they'll soon tell. Oh, they'll soon know. They'll recognize, you know, when you've been brought into a state of grace. They'll hear you moaning about your sin. Yeah. They'll hear you talking about this new righteousness that you found. They'll hear you talking about the forgiveness that has brought you such joy. They'll hear you talking about Jesus because you won't be able to shut up. Or they'll tell you to shut up. But, my friends, they won't be able to make you shut up. You'll keep on talking about Jesus. So they'll know you. They'll recognize you. And they'll hate you. They'll hate you because they hate God and they hate those who belong to God. And they prove it with their mouth. We hear them walking by. And I tell you, given the chance, it's only legislation. It's only the government. It's only the authorities that keep the lid on it. Take them away and you'd all just be like the Taliban. You'd be shooting and killing us. Because you hate us. Because you hate us. Because you hate God. And you hate our Savior. You hate Jesus. So God brings you into a state of grace. Remember, I told you what to expect. That you'll be reviled, persecuted, spoken falsely, falsely again. So this is the lot, you see, of a believer. They're reviled, hated, that is, despised of men, just as Jesus was, falsely accused of evil. Even when they're trying to do good, even they're trying to tell people how they can be brought into a state of grace. Even when they stand in the marketplace and do the best good that any person, any man could do for others. Tell them about Jesus, the mighty to save. Even then, they will revile you. And say false things about you. Oh, he's homophobic, they'll tell the authorities. Yeah. He's Islamophobic, they'll tell the authorities. False charges will be brought against you. And you'll be dragged before the authorities. And you'll be sent to jail. They'll put you in prison. Then when you get into the prison and you tell your inmates about Jesus, then they'll put you in solitary confinement. But of course, in days to come, well, I think they'll be killing us again. So you see, my friends, that this is it. This is the glamour. This is the glamour of being in a state of righteousness. This is the glamour of being a believer in Jesus Christ, a child of God. A righteous one. But Jesus says, theirs is the kingdom of heaven. The kingdom of heaven, my friends, is a kingdom of grace, a kingdom of love. It's an everlasting kingdom. It never comes to an end. And that's why, you see, well, we're quite, maybe happy is not quite the right word, but you know, when you revile us, persecute us, say false things about us, make false charges against us, when you even kill us, we submit to that, we yield to that, because we've got an everlasting kingdom. We belong to the kingdom of God, the kingdom of heaven, an eternal, everlasting kingdom never comes to an end. And when all the kingdoms of this world are fallen down, come to an end. Every empire and kingdom ever there's been and will be will come crashing down. And at the end of the age, the only kingdom left standing will be the kingdom of God and His Christ. So you see, my friend, we got a kingdom. I wouldn't call my friend. A man going past just a few moments ago told me to go home. Well, that's my home, the kingdom of heaven. And that's where I'm going shortly. And I'm quite happy, you know. If you're going to be thrown out of your house today, I mean, you'd want somewhere decent, wouldn't you? You wouldn't want to be homeless, would you? You would want somewhere decent to go. Well, my friends, the day is coming when your soul's going to be cast out of your body. And my friends, you want somewhere decent to go. Heaven or hell? A heavenly mansion or a hellish hovel, what will it be? What will it be? Well, it depends upon your state. Natural or grace? A state, your natural state, born in sin, living in sin, dying in sin, lost forever. Or the state of grace, born again of God's Spirit, entered into the kingdom of God through faith in the Son of God, His death and resurrection, your sin paid for, justified and sanctified, made right with God for time and for eternity, so that when you fall asleep, not die, we shall never die. We shall never die. No, we fall asleep in Jesus. And we're going to be with Jesus forever because that's His will. He says to His Father, I will that they be with me where I am. And one day we will be. And that man who bade me to go home, well, I hope he's come to a better frame of mind by then. I hope that he'll be sorry that I've gone home. Sorry that he can't hear me no more. But then again, maybe you'll be glad. I don't know.
Can I get up?
It's down to God's grace in the end. So you see, the heavenly state, you see, of grace, of joy, that no one can take away from you, says Jesus. You might be poor, you might be like Lazarus, a beggar, sat at the rich man's gate, full of sores, with nothing to your name. But if you believe in Jesus, you're going home. You believe in Jesus, you haven't bowed. The kingdom of heaven is yours. Yeah. You're as safe can be. Yeah. But you can be the rich man. You can be a celebrity. Be a Ronaldo, play for Manchester United again. 400,000 pounds a week, driving a Maserati. A rich fool. A rich fool, sir. That's what he is. A rich fool. He's a lost soul, just like the rest of them. The rich man, with his fancy cars and his big mansion, he's in the damnation of hell. He's burning for all eternity. He's in the place where the worm never died. But the poor man, the man who was in a state of grace, who had nothing but Jesus, was as rich as can be. He had the riches of Jesus Christ, forgiven, reconciled, justified, given eternal life, given everlasting righteousness, safe and secure in the arms of Jesus. It's the only safe place in this wicked world, don't you know? It's the only safe place in this wicked world. Hey, my friends, the Taliban, they're not just in Afghanistan. You've got them in your midst now. Yeah. You got serious. I'm not a prophet, but I tell you this. You've got serious issues coming to you in the United States of Europe. It's the judgment of God. And I tell you, blood will be shed. Lives will be lost. More than ever COVID-19 took. So my friends, Jesus is your only hope. Jesus, my friends, is the only way of escape. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. Neither is there salvation, neither is there righteousness, neither is there state of grace in any other name under heaven given amongst men whereby you must be saved. Jesus. Go to Jesus. Obey his admonition today, my friends. Now is the day. Repent ye and believe the gospel, he says. For the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. For the kingdom of God is at hand. And that's the only way you enter God's kingdom of heaven. You'd like to have a copy of God's word. Look into the mirror of God's word. Maybe you'll see a reflection, first of all, of yourself as a wicked, evil sinner, God-hating and neighbor-hating. But then maybe you'll see the reflection of the glory of the Son of God who died for such sinners. And in continuing to reflect, maybe he bring you into that state of grace. Favored of God. Blessed, my friends, above all men. You would like to have a copy of God's word? It's offered to you freely. No cost, no obligation to you. You're simply and only for the taking. Light one, you come and ask for one. May God bless you and have mercy also. Mercy, I say. The merciful kindness of God even upon your precious, never dying soul.